Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Wow, I don't know why that clip is so emotional to me. Every time, I've watched it several times this week, and it's just every time grabs me. This is the greatest moment of all history, the resurrection. We look back to it in faith and makes us look forward. Our calendars are set to it, but even before this event, the prophets of old, the heroes of Scripture looked forward to this event. Everything cruxes on this. And that leads us to, what does this do? Now, I have a rope, maybe you noticed. And what I did is, imagine this is a timeline of your life and the things that happen in your life. And imagine this red part is your time on earth. Now, if you noticed, I did pretty good because I made the red part really long. And I was thinking of this. My grandfather always said, he's now passed away, but my grandfather said, you know, people would ask him as he's getting older, you know, I don't know how this came up, but he always used to say that the way he wanted to die was in his 90s after being shot by a jealous husband. That's my grandfather. That's the craziness by that. You know? And I thought, hey, Grandpa, you know, that's the deal. But anyway, as a character line, it runs through our family. But anyway, so I have a really nice, long lifeline here. You know, it could be like this or like this, you know, but all life, I look forward to a long life, and I'm optimistic that way, and there's no shot there, that part, that's Grandpa. But the thing that we see as we look across our world, and too much of the time when we look seriously into our own life, is that we are so obsessed with this. We think, oh, if I work this part really hard, then I can maybe this part right here, I can travel a lot, right? And if we never think, oh, and then, oh boy, we're taking a risk right here, that might affect what might happen right here. But you know, this part of life is to determine this part and this part and this part and this part, and this part, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, forever. That is what Easter does. One, it reminds us every year as we take this time to celebrate that part, that we ought not be so obsessed with this part, or what's even worse, this part right here. Oh no, she said this back here. You know, all these things that we get caught up in, right? And we need to start looking more and more and be completely obsessed with this part and 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 this part. And how will that affect this part and this part and this part? And it keeps going, and it's hard to find a rope this long in Gilbert, and this long, and this long, and this long, and it keeps going. See, one of the things we've been looking at through this series, Empty Cross, is what does the resurrection do? What does Easter do? And before we look at that, just an advertisement for next week. Next week, we're starting a new series called The Two Shall Be Made One. We're going to look at the beauty of marriage and how God intended it to be. And I'm excited for talking about that. I enjoy being married. And so we'll talk about God's intent for the beauty of marriage. But we've been looking at, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the empty cross. And really, it's been based off of a verse that got me thinking. Romans 4:25 is kind of what got me going on this series. And it just simply says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And that got me thinking, hey, there's more than one part of this. A lot of times we crunch this all together and we we one big thing, but there are events in the course of this Easter that affect us. And of course, we looked a couple weeks ago, we looked at how Jesus sacrificed himself, a perfect, blameless, sinless person, taking on all of our sin that we might be forgiven and also be given the power to forgive, forgiven and forgivers. And then last week we looked at his ascension into heaven and that he rose not only from the dead, which is what we'll focus on today, but he rose to heaven. And through that, all of us can draw near to him. He's now omnipresent. He's with all of us and ever so near. We talked about the promises of the Spirit and because he ascended. And today we're looking at his resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. The empty cross brings us forgiveness. It brings us intimacy with God. And it brings us eternity. And I want to tell you that our eternity changes our today. It does. It dramatically changes our today. Our text is found in Colossians chapter 3. And I know, Jeff, that's a weird text to do Easter with, but we're doing it differently. We've been going through, as I talked about, we're looking at, rather than the historical piece of, you know, Good Friday and then the seven stations of the cross and triumphal entry and those pieces, we're looking theologically. What happened, through this theologically? And Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, talk about this element of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, and that part did something different than the cross part. And so all this kind of works together. So Colossians chapter 3, by the way, we are on YouVersion, so if you have a smartphone, you just go hit live, and then we should be probably close to the top, and click us, and you're on. All right, Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'm going to read that first verse again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. All right, there is a whole bunch to unpack here, and this is our central text. We'll go look at some other verses along the way. But this is our central text for this morning, and we're going to look at what happens because Jesus is risen. What happens because we see that the cross is empty? The first thing that happens is that we have a brand new perspective because of the empty cross. His sacrifice brought our forgiveness, and his ascension brought intimacy, but because of his resurrection, because he rose from the dead, one of the things that changes is our perspective. Now, we did a series a while back that looked at proofs for God, and we looked at some scientific stuff and the Big Bang, and we looked at different all sorts of different things, and how one of the kind of cool things is that science has proven, almost to the degree that the Earth is a sphere, at the Big Bang, time, matter, space, and energy were created. And therefore, what caused that has to be something that is outside of time, right? If it created time, it has to be outside of time, right? And then secondly, because it's not matter, matter was created, the cause of that can't contain matter, right? It has to be immaterial, no matter, no atoms. And then third, since space was created in the Big Bang, the cause has to have no dimensions. No dimensions. No height, no width, no dimensions. Well, we talked about all sorts of that. We did a whole series on that, and we talked about, my story may, is part of that, proof of God. But what brings us to, okay, there is a God, is Christianity the right approach to this? Is Christianity true? There's lots of different views of God. Is Christianity true? And really, one of the things that we can look at in this is the historicity of the resurrection. Historians are in incredible agreement about five central facts of the resurrection. One, that Jesus was crucified by the Roman authorities. Virtually every historian agrees, yep, that happened. We have enough historical proof in the Bible, but also way outside, you know, outside the Bible. We have all sorts of records that say, yeah, Jesus died on the crucified by Roman authorities. Two, Jesus was buried by a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. We even know his name, Joseph of Arimathea. That has been well established. The third one, the discovery of the empty tomb, first by a group of his women followers, and then secondly by Peter and John that we saw depicted in our video this morning. The fourth thing is that individual groups in several events, not just a single event, individuals and groups, several different events, saw Jesus appear. And we have a great deal of history with that. And then fifth, the 12 disciples, despite every predisposition to the contrary, believed that he rose again. And in fact, if you look at it, every one of them lost in every category of life because they held so firmly to what they saw. If they would have just said, no, that didn't happen, they would have been richer, they would have lived longer, they would have lived better. Instead, no, they said, no, this happened, and because of it, they lost financially, they lost physically by being beaten up, they lost and ultimately lost their lives. The historicity of the resurrection is greater than, and what I mean is different points of data. The historicity of the resurrection is greater than that we have for Caesar Augustus's death in 17 AD, or even the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. We have a great deal of historical truth that talks about that this event happened. But what does that mean? How does that affect us? How does that affect you? And the first part of this, as I've been talking about, is that changes our perspective. Because now we're not just looking at this. We are looking at all of this. And that dramatically affects our today. You are an eternal being. You are an eternal being by the resurrection. Jesus beat death. Death is dead because of what Jesus did. You are an eternal being, and that is a long time. Set yourself on things above. Our text talked about that. It broke it into two parts. It said, first, set your heart on things above, and then later it said, set your mind on things above. And so I'm going to break it apart too. One, we set our hearts on things above. You are an eternal being. Set your heart on things above. And how does that first affect your heartbreaks? This actually turns out to be a really neat test. How does this affect your heartbreaks? That you are an eternal being by Jesus Christ, living forever. How does that affect having your heart set on him? How does that affect your heartbreaks? Well, for some heartbreaks, for heartbreaks that lead to compassion, to say, you know, my heart breaks for the incredibly crazy amount of orphans in sub-Saharan Africa. Eternity fuels that heartbreak. It fuels it. All of a sudden, whatever that area of compassion that your heart breaks for, eternity fuels that heartbreak. But then that other heartbreak, that one where someone said something that was just mean and cruel and really just stuck. Oh, well, those in the light of eternity, they fizzle. By the way, that turns out to be a great test as we are drawing nearer and nearer to Christ, because, you know, which heartbreaks are fizzling and which ones are being fueled? Because I find that when I'm not focused on Christ, when I'm not engaging with Him, it turns around. Man, my compassion fizzles and then, whatever, you know. Okay, sorry for you. And off we go, right? And my heart breaks because of things that have happened. Man, they get fueled and it just churns in me. And draw near to Christ. It changes our perspective. Set our hearts on things above. And secondly, or in our hearts, how does that affect our great loves? You know, think about your great loves. Who are your great loves? You know, usually it's you, right? It's not what. Occasionally a Camaro sneaks in there. But anyway, great loves, right? Think about your great loves. You know, people, who, right? How does setting your mind on Christ affect our great loves? Oh, does that strengthen our love for our great loves? And then Paul continues and he says, set your mind on things above. Think about higher goals. You know, we got the red list, you know, and I got a goal that over here, this will happen, right? Think about the larger goals, the big ones, the huge ones. Set our minds on things above. Seek Jesus more and more because Jesus is risen today. How does this affect us? The second thing that affects us is that we have a hidden strength that comes from the empty cross. Our text talks about something, and when you hear it, you go, what? Wait a minute. But it leads us to a hidden strength. You know, I've had the wonderful privilege of witnessing four births, births of my four sons. Oh, look, my fingers are red. Four sons that I've gotten to witness their birth. And you know, the first thing I've learned by that is I don't want to witness a fifth. I'm done with that. The second is that the so-called weaker sex has a hidden strength. Oh my goodness, right? Where does this come from? Now I hear it said by women that birth pain is the only pain that has a purpose, right? And I go, wow, that's profound. Because every pain is like, why did that happen? You know, and why do I have to go through this? But childbirth is the only pain with a purpose. And except the cross. Jesus accepted the pain and the burden of our sin laid upon Him for a purpose. And that leads us to a hidden strength. See, you have a hidden strength because you are dead. And we read this in this verse, in this text, but we also see it in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The first part of finding this deepest hidden strength that we have in Christ is dying with Christ. Finding our deepest self in Him. Our deepest self in Him. You know, we celebrate Easter with the resurrection, and on Good Friday, just a few days ago in our calendar, we celebrate Jesus' time on the cross. And a lot of times when we take some time and focus on that, we look at some of the last statements of Jesus. And his very last statement was, it is finished. It is finished. He was dying on the cross. And he said a whole bunch of great words to focus on. But his last words, it is finished. It wasn't, I am finished. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm dying. I'm out of here. It wasn't, I am finished, but it is finished. And what did he mean by that? The mission is finished. The sacrifice is finished. The it is finished. It. The it that keeps us from God. The it that keeps us separated from Him. The sin and self and our own little hang-ups and all that stuff that keeps us separated from Him. That is the it that is finished because Jesus died and rose again. And how do we bridge that distance? How do we move from here to there? How did God bridge that? And how do we capture it for ourselves? Well, we take the I out of it. See, when we take the I out of it, what remains is the empty cross. All the self that we have, all the our own ideas along the way, our hang-ups and our attempts. And if we just receive Him, we identify with Him. We die with Him. And we find a hidden strength out of it. Christ lives through you. He loves you. He deeply loves you. You are hidden in plain sight. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died," speaking to us, this is our main text, Colossians, "For you died," us, "you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." We are dead, and that creates a hidden strength because our life is now hidden with Christ. First off, just practically speaking, kind of the obvious thing, is that if our life is hidden in Christ, nothing can kill us, right? Nothing can take our life. It's hidden with Christ. Nothing can steal our life. It's hidden with Christ. But it also gives us a hidden strength. Because our heart is there with Him. We are empowered. We're empowered beyond. Your strength comes from the other side, a hidden strength. Your very life is hidden with Him. All the stuff and the junk and the bleh that we deal with here can't touch it. It's hidden with Christ. And that brings us a hidden strength. The empty cross affects us dramatically, of course, in the area of forgiveness and bridging that gap of sin. And we talked about the area of intimacy with God, and we've talked about the resurrection, that death is now dead. And because of that, because we are now eternal beings, that our perspective changes and we have a hidden strength. But also, this brings us a bravery toward the amazing. I've noticed something about myself is that I'm not afraid of many things. A while back, we found a large black widow. That's what I'm trying to spit out. Black widow. And just right outside the school here. And I was like, cool, let's go look at it. And then I'm poking it. And later I thought, you know, maybe that wasn't the brightest idea of the bunch. But, you know, the good news is that I don't have arachnophobia. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm poking black widows, you know. There's not a lot of things I'm afraid of, but there is something that just terrifies me, and that is the fear of slipping. I'm not afraid of heights at all. Please take me up in an airplane, an air balloon. Let's go climb ladders. I'll go with you. This is great. I love heights. I'm afraid of slipping and falling from a height. And so if you put me on a pitched roof, I'm a basket case. I'm just like, no. Get me off of the back pitched roof, please, because I'm afraid I'll slip and I'm going to fall. And so a while back, not too long ago, we went hiking. And this is Squaw Peak. And I took this picture here. I'm standing kind of at the edge. And I looked at that and I thought, you can see way down there, you can see little cars. There's a whole bunch of cars down there. And I thought, gee, that's like a base jumper's delight. Isn't that just amazing? That's just a nice perch right there. And I looked at that. But what you can't see from the picture is that I'm a couple steps back from the cliff because I have this fear of slipping. I'm not afraid of heights at all. I love heights, but I'm afraid of slipping. And so throughout this hike, I did this a few times. And here we go. And it's hard to tell with this picture, but that's pretty dramatic to me because, see, my foot is hanging off the cliff. It's kind of hard to see because pictures don't capture depth so much. But my foot, I did this several times. Sometimes I went like this, to hang my foot off the cliff. But I hung my foot off, and because that is the thing that I am afraid of. Now, the empty cross, the resurrection, gives us a bravery, and not just a bravery to climb mountains. Even though, by the way, I found a text, Psalm 18:29 says, "And with my God, I can scale a wall." Yes. Even though there's that, the bravery that we receive because of the empty cross, because we're hidden in Him, is the bravery to do the amazing. The amazing in and for Christ. It brings us to bravery. A couple of texts for us. Colossians 3:4, our main text, our primary text. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Romans 8:11 says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who loves you." Eternal life gives us comfort. A lot of times when we've experienced the death of somebody close, a loved one, we rest on this truth. They're not dead. And it comforts us. That's good. That's really good. But it also gives us bravery. It gives us bravery to do the amazing. Not just climb a mountain, but more importantly, to do the amazing for Jesus Christ. See, our time here is limited, right? Our time is unlimited. Yeah. Our time here is limited. Our time period is unlimited, but our time here is limited. And so that fuels us. That gives us a bravery to do the amazing for Him. It changes who we are today. We can do the amazing for Him. So you've heard of the statement, "What would Jesus do?" We ask that all the time, and I kind of come back a lot of times to know what Jesus would do, you have to know what Jesus did, right? But the other part of that for today that I want to ask us to, you know, boy, wouldn't it be great if we had bracelets for this, is what would an eternal do? What would an eternal do? What would an eternal do? See, we're eternal beings, and when we're faced with the stuff of life and, oh, that week I had last week, what would an eternal do? And I don't know the answer for your particular moment, but it's a great question to ask. Ask yourself in those times, in opportunities and in difficulties, what would an eternal do? How would we do it? Some general points. One, an eternal would view hardship as opportunity. See, we have a verse, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all." Isn't that cool? All of a sudden, hardship is opportunity. You know, can I have some more, please? Because it affects our eternity. And then secondly, an eternal would view temptation as brief. I don't know about you, I think it's pretty common to humanity that there's one thing that dogs us. Temptation. There's usually one specific temptation that everybody deals with. It may be, mine's maybe different than yours, and yours is different from that other person's, but we all have that one thing that just kind of dogs us. And we go, oh, what am I? It's temporary. And since it's temporary, since what if that temptation that's such a struggle to you, if you knew that it would only last 5 minutes, could you make it through? What if it only lasts a few inches of the rope? Could you make it through? It empowers us in that regard. We're never perfect, but it empowers us in that regard. Next, we look at goals differently. What are our goals? You know, our goals, are they just the next inch on the next quarter inch, the millimeter on the rope? Or are there some larger goals, greater bravery? And finally, it's a 9-day missions trip. Again, we have the nice red here. It's a 9-day missions trip. One thing I have a goal of is to go with you on a mission trip to Africa. Yeah, let's do it. And if you and I went to Uganda tomorrow for a nine-day mission trip, first off, you'd be drinking some pretty nasty water, right? 9 days of nasty water, and the food? Yeah, you might be on a diet for 9 days, right, because of the food. And you might just not be comfortable. You might have, you're right, you're getting the point. And we would land, and we would go, this is what it is. We're only here for 9 days. Let's make the best difference we can. And see, that's what eternity does for us. That's why Christianity is the one that invents hospitals and stuff like that, because we look at it and we go, we have 9 days here. Let's change it. Let's make an impact. Let's make a difference. And the discomforts, the difficulties, we can get through that. We can get through it. It's just 9 days. It's 9 decades. But in a lot of ways, it's 9 days. What would an eternal do? Peter and John knew. That's why we see that laugh. Wasn't that good? They stand there, confused, empty, grave clothes. What? What happened? And then suddenly it dawns on them that what Jesus said was true, and that he has risen. Later they would see him risen and alive. But at this point, realized it changed everything. It changed them. It changed history. It changed their nation. It changed the world. Peter and John knew Jesus Christ is risen today. Eternity brings now, begins now. Eternity begins now. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to focus our hearts and our minds on you. You have risen from the dead, and you have changed us in so many ways. So many wonderful stories right here in Freshwater of the change you have brought. And Lord, as we take this opportunity of Easter to focus on you, Lord, again, we come to you. We ask you to come into our hearts. Whether we have been distant, whether we've never asked, whether this is another commitment, a new invitation today. Jesus, come into my heart today. Change me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me. Lord, empower my tomorrow. Lord, we pray as we begin that you would reveal to us the opportunities we have to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.